So do you think that you can change your type?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
I don't know. I'm not so sure about that.
Hi, I'm Yui Shu.
And I'm Julie Kraftchik.
We're active daters turned dating sociologists.
Here to dive into everything modern dating and relationships.
Welcome to the Dateable Podcast.
Before we get into this episode, a quick word from our sponsors that make it possible. Did you know we're eating and drinking roughly a credit card's worth of plastic a week? Yep, that's right. Blue Land set out to do something about it. Eliminate the need for single-use plastic in the cleaning products we reach for the most. I'm absolutely obsessed with Blue Land for a couple of reasons. One, how they're helping the environment. Two, how convenient they make my life. And three, how freaking beautiful their pastel containers are. All you have to do is fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You'll never have to grab bulky cleaning products on your groceries run again. My partner was a little skeptical the other day if the dishwasher tablets would work as well as the pods we usually use, but after the dishes came out sparkling clean, he was sold as well. It's not only super convenient, but Blue Land is also affordable. Refills start at just $2.25, and you can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for additional savings. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off.
Hey, do you ever look at your closet and think you have nothing to wear? Or is it just me? It's not just me, right? This is why I can't believe I didn't discover Armoire clothing rentals earlier. With an Armoire membership, I can now build the perfect wardrobe with high-quality brands that I wouldn't normally think I could afford, such as Philip Lim, Monique Lhuillier, and Marni. Doesn't it just sound fancy? To get started, all you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic, personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, boom, swap them out for more new-to-you styles. I recently rented a pale lime green leather blazer from Alice and Olivia. You may have seen it on our Instagram stories. I am obsessed. It's so perfect. If you're like me who doesn't want to spend all that time putting together a look, but also loves looking stylish. Right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/dateable. That is armoire.style. That's spelled armoire.style/dateable to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Hello, Dateable fam.
Welcome back to another episode of Dateable.
This episode is one of those special episodes where it is just Julie and I harping on a topic that many of you have asked us about, a burning dating topic, I guess. And it's also a really great topic for debate. We've definitely heard many sides of this debate with our friends, with you all, our listeners, and just in the general modern dating universe.
Yes, it is. And I feel like the type, you know, all this episode is, can you change your type? At the end of the day, we hear of people that are always saying, like, I have a type. I have the type of person that I'm just drawn to. I'm gravitated to. It's almost like this passiveness that's happening. Like, my picker is off, or I just have to be with this person. But our question is, can it be more of an active rewire if you find yourself going for the same type of person, yet it's not working out?
We love this topic because many of you have been taught, get rid of your type. Your type is not working for you. Try to change your type. But then nobody really explores the
right.
Then what?
Right.
Can you actively be like, no, I'm not attracted to that thing anymore? It's like one day telling you you can't have your favorite food and then you should go explore all the other different types of food in the world.
I think up top, like, we're clearly going to get way into this, but I would say that we're not going to tell you, like, throw out your entire type. Like, there's going to be parts of who you're attracted to that still makes sense. I think maybe it's expand your type, not change your type. Maybe that's the change of vocabulary we want to start using.
That's a good word. Yes. Expansion. Think about adding to all the different traits that you may like in someone. But what is your type? What does that even consist of? Let's start there. When you think of your type, what are you thinking? I'm thinking all the superficial traits.
Mm-hmm. Like your physical attributes, like whatever someone's like, what's your type? It's always like tall blonde or tall.
Yeah.
You know, like there's always like something that's a physical attribute that's described. Or you could be like, oh, they work in tech or they work in finance. Like occupation, education always comes to mind too for me.
Yep. Or neighborhood specific. Mm. When I was in New York, people were always like, I love the Lower East Side type.
Yeah.
Wow. That's very limiting, but okay.
I think there's also like the artsy type or like the musician or, you know, the professional or like banker, whatever it is. Like, I think there's some like defining characteristic, whether I guess your job or your hobby or something that puts you into this stereotype.
Yes. So that is all very superficial. Everything is the packaging of someone and not so much the core of who they are.
We also hear people always say like emotionally unavailable people, that's my type. Or, you know, like something that's who you don't want to be your type, or toxic people. Like I've heard that before. Like my type is that I attract people that don't want to be in a relationship.
Oh, like the bad boy or the toxic people or the ones who are highly traumatized. Or the ones that come from the wrong side of the tracks. Yes, definitely had those.
And like, where do you think this comes from? Because I think that maybe that piece of it, it's like confirming a belief, maybe like that example that we just gave about, you know, the people that I don't want that end up being there. But I think when you look at like the physical attributes, a lot of that, you know, has just been ingrained for so long by like who society thinks is like the attractive mate. And then also like, I feel like, I don't know. I feel like we all have this like ideal in our heads of like who we think we should end up with. And of course, that's influenced by where we grew up or like our parents or even just, you know, what we've seen in TV and movies and media.
It's society. It's your upbringing. But I was also thinking, having you had friends say stuff to you like, oh, that's not someone I would picture you with.
Yeah,
or I pictured you with someone different. Then you ask, what did you picture me with? And they describe a certain type. That's been ingrained in me that I thought, oh, okay, that's the type my friends picture me with. That must be my type.
Do you find that that's like who they picture themselves with? Or they've kind of come up with this idea for you that may not even be reflective of who they end up with?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think it's probably what, I don't think it's reflective of who they picture for themselves, but who they picture you as your type.
Yeah.
To be with, right?
I can kind of see that because I think like your current partner, I mean, you've said it before. I wouldn't say that's like your typical type.
No.
And I think, you know, a lot of it though, what I'm getting, if I'm going to like say like who your type is, all I'm doing is referencing the people I've seen you with before.
Exactly.
So it's not necessarily that that's like the right person for you and the right type. But I think maybe that's where it's coming from. It's either like your own person that you would end up with or who you've seen as a pattern for your friend.
Exactly. And it is the media that truly reflects what we think people should be with. I mean, before Asians were represented in the media, I remember being in high school and middle school and people telling me that they couldn't see me with anybody.
Interesting.
There were no Asian women dating anybody on TV. So I was always out of a type. But then when it was so in to have interracial dating to be on TV, everybody was like, oh, I picture you with a tall white guy. So that was like, oh, that's my type, the tall white guy. And then it was like Asian love, right? And then like Asian-Asian relationships were in. And then people were like, yeah, I really picture you with like a traditional Asian guy who's like really strong into his Asian roots. And if you look at my dating history, it kind of follows what media has portrayed.
That's interesting. I think for me, it's less media, but it's more of my environment. Like when I grew up, I lived in like a predominantly Jewish town. Mm. And like, it was just assumed I would end up with someone Jewish. Like that's like what my family's like, you know, influence was. So I thought my type was someone Jewish for a really long time.
Yes.
And then for whatever reason, it like wasn't clicking for me. Like I didn't really have any like boyfriends in high school. And just, I never was like the girl that guys liked. Mm. So I was like, this type isn't working. And then, you know, I moved to like college and, you know, life, like when I lived in Boston, and I was definitely surrounded by a lot of like white, blonde, Irish guys. And that became like very attractive to me.
Yeah.
And then I think I brought that over to like, you know, when I moved to San Francisco, even though it was much more diverse, that was still like who was kind of ingrained because that's who I had like experiences with. So it's interesting, like the cultural side too. Like I could see, you know, people being like, "Yue, your type's another Asian person," just because like of such basicness too.
Yeah. And both of those examples, both of our examples describe the exposure principle or familiarity principle, which is what you're used to being exposed to is going to end up being your type. Which also, by saying that, just means you only know what you know. So your type is only what you know.
I also think it's a lot easier to explain physical characteristics. Like when someone's like, hey, Yue, like, who do you want to get set up with? Like, it's easier to just be like, yeah, I want someone that's like 6 feet and has like this color hair or whatever, than be like, they're a kind soul. Like, how do you even like find that person?
Yeah, how do you find that?
You know?
Yeah. But even saying, I want someone 6 feet, which is like so many people. I want someone tall. I want over 6 feet. And I want someone who looks like this or that. People are describing others that they've encountered in their lifetime. You know, before moving to the States, I was, you know, I was in China. If someone asked me what my type was, I would never describe anyone non-Chinese because I never encountered anybody non-Chinese.
Right.
So the exact characteristics you're using to describe your type, you're just describing the people that you've come in contact with. But what about all the other people you haven't come in contact with?
Exactly, which brings us to, can you change your type? And I want to go into this in a lot more detail, but before we do, let's take a break to hear from our sponsors. Spring is in the air, and you know what adds an extra spring to my step? Our partners at Viya Hemp. Need to chill out after a long day? There's a Viya gummy for that. Dealing with anxiety or stress? There's a gummy for that too. Want to set the mood in the bedroom? There's a gummy for that called High Love. Viya also carries a wide array of other gummies with and without THC, ranging from 0 to 100 milligrams. I've been struggling to stay focused lately, so I was excited to try out their Flow State gummies. These felt like a good bet to me too, because they were non-psychoactive and THC-free. But they definitely delivered, boosting my daily energy and focus. So whether you're a 2 milligram or a 50 milligram user, you can shop through their website for any strength and effects. So head to Viya Hemp and use the code DATEABLE to receive 15% off and one free sample of their award-winning gummies, 21 plus. That's viiahemp.com and use the code DATEABLE at checkout. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Take your passion and pleasure to a whole new level with High Love from Viya Hemp.
Living with ADHD can be a challenge, and dating with ADHD is definitely a challenge, we've heard many of you say. But finding the right care and proper tools needed to succeed can be life-changing. Done is an online ADHD care platform that can get you all the resources you need to help manage your ADHD. Unlock your path to better focus with Done. Take a free one-minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support and pharmacy copays as low as $0. And because May is Mental Health Awareness Month, you can get 50% off your first consultation. That's just $99. Visit get.donefirst.com/podcast before the end of the month to take advantage of this deal. That's get.donefirst.com/podcast. Done. Turn ADHD into strength.
Okay, so can you change your type? Before we get into, you know, what research says and what other people say, what's your take, UA?
Abso-fucking-lutely, if you're willing to. If you are willing to explore outside of your type, you can absolutely change it.
I agree. I think like you can change it, but I would maybe say that like there's probably like a baseline that might never change. That's why I'm kind of more on the expand your type. I think there is something that, you know, we've grown to like believe is attractive to us, that it's really hard to break free from that. But that doesn't mean that you have to keep going for the same mold of person over and over again. Mm-hmm. You can figure out like what that core is and then expand out.
So what do you think are the basic characteristics within a type that would withstand any sort of change?
Yeah, like, I mean, I think there's, I'm like looking at all the people I've been attracted to or been with in my life. And like, I wouldn't say they all like look the same by any means, but there was, you know, basic, I guess, like, I don't know how to say this. Like, I like a little bit of a preppy guy to some degree. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know if I could visualize myself with someone that's totally hipster or, you know, band guy. Like, I'm not sure if that's like someone I'd mesh with. Maybe it is. I don't want to say never, but I think for me, it would always be a stretch. Like, I've gone out with people of different types and I felt like I didn't have like a baseline. So, again, it's not that like I couldn't find it, but for me, it was easier to not go like 180 and to just say like, okay, I have like a general, you know, type of person I'm attracted to, but I don't want to confine it to a specific, all the specific characteristics and, you know, figure out like where I'm willing to budge and where I'm not.
So you're saying for the people you've dated, there's still a baseline vibe to them?
Yeah, that's same? That's what it is. Like there's like a sarcastic sense of humor. That's always been something I've been very drawn to. Mm. And like a guy that's like spitting out dad jokes, like it just never vibes with me. So I think
that doesn't vibe with anybody.
There are people that love it. And, you know, a lid for every pot. But I think for me, I realized it's kind of a combo of I realize what works for me in the sense of, you know, who I just get along with. Mm-hmm. But I got less attracted to specific traits. Like I wasn't like, oh, they must be 5'9 and above. Like I got loose on that area. But I did say I still want them to be taller than me. Mm-hmm. So there was kind of like a little give and take a bit.
Maybe it's a good exercise for people to break out their type into the characteristics that don't really matter and the characteristics that do matter to you. And it sounds like this certain personality matters to you because you know you get along with this certain kind of personality. Why fix what's not broken? So you keep the through line of that characteristic.
At least for me, that's what worked. I'm curious for you, like if you feel like every person you've been with has some similarities or they're all drastically different.
I feel like they've all been career people.
Mm.
And it's not in the same profession, but they've all really prioritized their career. So that may be one, but I wouldn't say that's a thing I look for, but it does translate into a feeling of stability, feeling of safety for me. And looks-wise, I say they've been all across the board. In fact, I'm still curious how much I can expand my type because like, wow, there's just so many more types of people I haven't explored. But yeah, at the baseline, I would say probably just like that security is what I look for.
And, you know, like I definitely had qualities. I remember in college, like my running or maybe right after college, the running joke was that everyone I dated was like on the 5-year plan of college. They were always there like at least 5 years instead of 4. And I realized like maybe that isn't actually serving me to like have someone that's not super motivated or, you know, again, I don't want to make statements. Of course, there's many reasons why people take 5 years to finish college, not try to throw any shade. But that was something that kept coming up for me. And I had to be like, is this actually like a pattern I want? Maybe it's okay if there's a one-off, but does it need to be every person I go for?
Right. Yeah. So that's also important to look at. Is this what I'm looking for serving me? Or is it the exact reason that these past relationships haven't really worked out?
I think that's exactly what it was too. I always was drawn to someone that I laughed a lot around and was very, I found funny.
Yeah.
And I think like with my current partner, I definitely felt that, but it wasn't the overarching trait. Mm. And that's where I think I've learned to like adapt and maybe some of the people that were less serious in the past, they were kind of like life of the party and they were like that comical relief, but it maybe was too much. So it's not to say that I wasn't looking for it at all. I still wanted someone that I laughed with and enjoyed their company. And I think my partner could be hilarious, but I wouldn't say it was his standout trait necessarily, where in other people, maybe it was more dominant.
Well, that reframe is important to note, which is you're not looking for someone funny. You're looking for someone you can laugh with.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's very different. If you just want someone funny, well, we've made this joke before. Everybody would be dating stand-up comedians, but you don't really see that. But humor seems to be the number one trait people look for. That's their type, someone humorous. But what does that mean to you? How do you translate that to what you need?
Well, this is the part. I mean, it kind of brings me back to the conversation we had with Dr. Paul Eastwick on one of our most popular episodes, The Science of Attraction.
Yeah.
I'm going to pull up the episode, season 13, episode 6, if you want to re-reference it. And his whole thing was like, we all, you know, just throw out these generic traits, like they need to be funny, they need to be adventurous. But like, what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. And none of us, you know, can even accurately understand like how important that is. You know, like if I said I want someone funny, there's nothing that like would prevent you from finding someone quote unquote funnier, even though that wasn't on your list.
Right. It's arbitrary. That's
very arbitrary.
But why do we have types? It's because we've been forced all of our lives to define our type. I mean, for example, dating apps.
Yeah.
You have to identify and filter for these characteristics that don't really matter. Also, when friends want to set you up, what are they going to ask you? Oh, what are you looking for?
What's
and what are you going to say?
Yeah.
Are you going to be like, oh, this certain vibe? I'm looking for this sense of security. Like, how are they going to find someone for you like that? So we're not blaming you all for having a type because we were forced to have a type. But I think it's really important to understand your type, certain things about your type truly could use a little expansion in Julie's words.
It's like what's serving you and what's not about this person you're with. Like, I also think about the conversation we had with Mark Scholes about like why you're choosing the wrong partners. And he was saying like a lot of times we're drawn to people that are familiar, that are comfortable. If we're used to, he was bringing it back to attachment theory. It's like if we're used to our caregivers not giving us attention or being inconsistent with attention, we might seek that out in other people because it feels comfortable. It feels like love. But his whole thing was recognizing that and maybe just being like, okay, just because this has been the person I chose, it isn't necessarily coming from a place of this is what's best for me, but it's what I know. And like, how do you consciously kind of unchoose that?
It always goes back to what you're familiar with.
Yes. Yeah.
It's our fight or flight mode. We want to be with people we feel safe around. And safety always translates into familiarity, unfortunately. So you could meet someone and they remind you of someone from your childhood or your past. And suddenly you feel like you have a rapport with this type of person, I guess. But yeah, so how do we know what's serving us and what's not?
I think part of it too, it's like, it might not even be safety. It could be unsafety that's gravitating you to someone.
Yes.
Like I think for me, there was something about this person not being fully available. And that was like who I went for because it felt safe in the sense like I knew how to handle it.
Yeah.
It was too much to like put myself fully out there to someone that was more ready for like a full-blown relationship. So there was something safe in the push-pull. But it wasn't really like the safety I was, you know, wanting deep down. It was more of just what was familiar.
Right. And then the flip side of that is you've all heard success stories from your friends, I'm sure, who ended up with someone who was so not their type. So maybe opposite of their type. So kind of just shows you our own pickers are a little bit off if we're picking purely based on what we know and familiarity.
I mean, I think my partner was very different than the people I went for in the past, even though there was a sense of familiarity. Like we shared the East Coast upbringing, that like sarcastic humor. Like he had, I call it hipster on the top because he wears band t-shirts all the time and preppy on the bottom because he wears like, I don't know, Patagonia stuff and like J. Crew. So I'm like always joking about that it's like half my type. But in the past, I feel like if someone was wearing band shirts, I'd be like turned off by it. I liked like someone that was like in like button down shirts. Why? I don't know. Because it was just like I found that attractive. But I had to really take a step back and be like, is that actually important? It's not. This person has everything else I'm looking for, except maybe that one thing. Like, who cares?
Well, what's interesting about your story is you met your partner during the pandemic and you've always said you felt a little bit more open during that time. So you should definitely explain that to our listeners.
Yeah. I mean, in general, I think in that period, I was open. I removed all filters because I did want to like really be in this like, you only know what you know. Mm-hmm. Because I did have some filters that, you know, I stuck to very rigidly. Mm-hmm. So I did expand out that way. And I think that's where I kind of got to this middle ground of I'm going to keep some of the stuff that's working and not go 180. But again, I'm not saying that it can't work to go 180. It absolutely can. But I think maybe it's a little less daunting for people to hear that. Like, if you are ready to go 180, go all 180. Like, no one's stopping you. But if you're just like, no, I have this type, I've been with the same type of person forever, I'm saying there are baby steps you could take also to get there. Yeah, I think, though, that was a big piece that I was a little less rigid, especially knowing like limitations of like photos in dating apps. Mm-hmm. I was not picky about that. I was like, do they look attractive enough to me? I'm going to meet them in person. And I think a big part of it too was like recognizing like what didn't work in the past for you and what you really need. And it wasn't that I changed my type fully, but it's like I reprioritized certain aspects. Maybe that's mm-hmm. a good way to put it. It's like consistency. I've talked about this a lot on this podcast. That was front and center for me. And that was never front and center before. It wasn't like I still was looking for someone that I could go out with and have fun with and, you know, have good conversation with and laugh with. That was all still very much there. But if they weren't consistent, I didn't care if I could have a lot of fun with them.
Right.
Where in the past, that stuff would be at the top.
Right. Yes. So it forced you, that time really forced you to be open and expand your filters, both on the apps and also internally. But what are some ways that people can start doing that now? Now that we're not in the pandemic, how can people start being more open?
Yeah, I don't think this was pandemic specific. I think that's just when it hit me, like big time of like really coming to terms. It was when I ended that on again, off again relationship where, you know, the fun was in the forefront. So I think the pandemic for me, it just happened to be the time. I think anyone can hit this.
But there was, you did mention to me that there's something like mysterious about wearing your mask on the first day and like people's got the pandemic hair. There is something about that period of time where you're just like, you know, no, people aren't trying to be something they're not during this time.
Okay, I think that's a good point. I think I always joke that my partner definitely needed a haircut when I first met him. But I could see through and see the beauty that was there. But yeah, I think maybe it was more open to some of that stuff. But also it's like recognizing what's temporary and what's not. Like a haircut, for instance. Like I think maybe in today's world where you could get a haircut readily, maybe it's more of a choice and statement. So I don't want to say like try to change someone. But at least in that time, I could say like, okay, you know, they're eventually going to get a haircut. Like, but I think maybe it's a good reminder, though, too, is that when you're meeting someone, maybe not everything is the A game all the time, just because life happens. Like maybe I didn't get a haircut for a couple weeks and I'm overdue just because life got busy. It doesn't mean that my hair forever is unruly. So I think it's having like a little more grace for people and not dismissing people at every little like ick. Oh God, we could get started on the ick. Like that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But I think people just get so like particular that people need to be perfect. And I think like if 90% is there, keep going with it. Like it doesn't have to be 100% and never will be.
I know, it never will be. And for those people who've met people who are like 100% their type, then they try to force a situation to happen. You know, they're like, this person's 100% my type. I need to be with them. They're so perfect for me. And they overlook all of the other things that aren't working for them. And that's unfortunate too.
I'm curious for your perspective, Yue, because I feel like you had another, like, I think, you know, for me, I definitely had the breakup situation, but also maybe I was the timing of the pandemic that did it too. For you, you clearly had the breakup, the big breakup. And then that changed your type. Can you share more your thought? I do remember like we had this episode with Evan Marcatz and you were like, I've realized that I'm dating the same person in a different body and I want to change it.
Yeah, I didn't feel, I mean, I just felt so lost in what I wanted that I feel like I have been doing relationships based on what I think other people think are good for me or would be a good fit for me. So one thing I was really wrapped up in that last relationship, and I'm totally okay admitting this, is how much external validation we got. How much, how many people were like, oh, he's so good looking and, you two make such a beautiful couple. I got really wrapped up in that. I was like, oh my gosh, we look like we belong together. So we got to make this work. But there was one thing, even reflecting back on that relationship now, one thing I was really missing was eye contact. And part of the downfall of the relationship was I felt disconnected and like, where's his head at? Are you even present? You know, those questions. And that comes with not looking at someone's eyes. And so something that shifted in this new relationship and dating again was I made a point to prioritize eye contact, to really get deep into someone's eyes and see if they can hold eye contact. Because then you can truly get a sense of their soul. So for a while, and this sounds so, I don't know, like magical and all of the like potion voodoo stuff, but for a while, I couldn't even look at people's looks. Like there was nothing that was registering. No one was attractive or unattractive to me, but it was purely eyes. I just kept looking at eyes. So now that's a thing that really drew me to my person right now is he makes intense eye contact. He's all about eye contact, but he goes deep in there and he's not afraid to not look away. And I really enjoy that we can connect eyes to eyes.
Yeah. And I'm making a generalization here, or I'm making a bold statement here. And I just kind of had this revelation, and I don't think it always holds true, but I wonder if some of it is related to height. Because at the end of the day, like we always think like, or at least women are conditioned to be like, oh, we should be with the tall guy. But I actually like my current partner's height. He is a little taller than me, but it's not like my ex was like almost six three. He was definitely taller. And I always like had a look up where like my current partner, it's more eye to eye. And it feels like more equal. It feels more like partners. And there's something really nice about that. And again, I'm not saying like everyone tall can't make eye contact. Like I absolutely made eye contact with my last partner too. I'm not trying to say that. But there's something like about being more at the same level that has like, there is like a psychology there. I'm curious if you have any thoughts on that because you and your partner now are more at the same level too.
Do you remember me saying this to you? I was like, oh. With the ex, he didn't hear half the things I said to him because
we had such
a height discrepancy. And now I'm like, wait, did he even hear that?
They're just like in another world, like 5 feet above you, just going through life.
Yeah, it's a little different up there, right? I used to joke, I would call him, his nickname was Giraffe because he was so in his own, you know, giraffes are just like in their own world, chomping on trees or whatever they're eating.
He was very much like that.
Right. And everybody else is like living in reality. So I think there is probably something with that. But also, it's not a height thing. It's like this willingness to connect and willingness to be present. It doesn't matter your height. And I think we just never had that.
Yeah. And again, I started this with it's a bold statement. It's not always height. I think I'm just trying to say it's a case for maybe giving people that aren't the 6 feet a chance. It's not saying that, yeah, you got to throw out all the people that are over 6 feet either. I'm not saying that, but it's saying expand again, expand your type.
I really hate the height thing. I do too.
Because
I was so into that for so long.
We're conditioned that way.
And it's like end of the day. Does it even matter? Who cares?
I think that's honestly where I got with a lot of this stuff. Again, it's not throwing out the type, but it's like, what qualities matter to you and which ones don't?
Yeah.
And that is a really important exercise to do. Like for me, like I said, I'm not going to budge on someone I can't like have a good conversation with and laugh with. But do they need to wear the button-down shirt all the time? No.
No, exactly. The things that you think are so important truly do not matter. And I have a girlfriend that always says to me time and time again, I need someone tall with six-pack abs. And I'm like, why? You think he's going to make a good partner? Is he going to make you feel good? Like, I just don't get it.
I think the other piece too is like you then, if someone's not like this cookie cutter, that's what I like about it. It's like leaving room to like let the person be themselves. Like maybe there's a few deal breakers you have, a few things that you're just not going to budge on. That's normal. We're not going to say like throw out every superficiality you ever had. Like we still want you to be attracted to the person at the end of the day. but maybe limit it to 3 to 5 max. And then everything else, it's room to just let the person be them. I love that my partner wears band shirts. It's so endearing to me because I know it's so important to him and it shows like his personality. So now when I see him in this attire, I'm like very attracted to it because it's who he is and it's like showing a piece of him. If I had like the exact outfit they needed to wear and I was like, my type only dresses like this, how boring is that?
Well, also the other problem with this is that we are evolving. I feel like my taste is constantly changing, my taste in clothes, in food. How can I guarantee just static type today is what I want in a few years? And that's why it's more important to find a partner who's able to evolve with you than just getting this out of the box, like perfect person today.
Well, that's why I hate the this is my type, because it kind of makes you stuck in the past too.
Yeah.
Like I remember one of my old roommate, her type was like the band guy, like the musician, kind of like aloof and cool and like didn't give a shit. Turns out wasn't always the best partner. And some of it just came with maturity, again, valuing different things. And her current partner is not that guy. And it feels like a deviation of type. But some of it is, I'm just looking for something different now.
Yeah.
Like I've moved past that. Like maybe that was my type 5 years ago, but my current type is not the person I can't rely on, but rather like the person I can't.
Yeah. And that's probably a great way of demonstrating that your type is what you choose. It's a choice. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's conditioned, like you're going to be like this forever. It's like you can choose someone to be your type if you're willing to. And it's good to also, this is a good argument for dating, having more dating experience, because you get to experience dating multiple types of people. Mm-hmm. And then you can have a better sense of what you're looking for. So yeah, like if you're in the dating phases right now, in the discovery phase, go explore all the different types.
So I mentioned before, I've never like consciously been like, I'm going to go for the exact opposite. I haven't. I admit that. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had that conscious decision? Like, have you had that feeling before?
I think I went even further. I was like, maybe I should date women. Remember? I went through that phase.
One of our friends is always asking me when that's going to happen.
Why is she interested?
Maybe.
Listen, like, this is
I caught that comment UA made a little while ago. I just wanted to know what's going on with that.
Maybe in another lifetime, she and I could explore something. But this is why you had the argument for not going 180 right away, because it was really scary. I was in Greece swiping on women and they scared the shit out of me because that's not what I'm used to. I still need a baseline level of comfort and safety. Mm-hmm. And I would say Greek women on dating apps are not that. They're the opposite of that.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it depends. Like some people really thrive on like just going for the complete opposite. And like, I think, I don't know. I think there is a reality that maybe your type isn't your type if it's not working out. Mm-hmm. I think like, again, to this expanding your type, like I think back to that episode we did with Cheryl a long time ago, our friend Cheryl, this was like early OG Dateable. And she talked about how she was just going to say yes to anyone that came up, whether they were her type or not. And she went out with people that were not remotely her type, but it helped her learn. So it's kind of like what you were talking about before of just if you're in the dating stage, this is a great time to like try out new things. But like, how do you balance that with, you know, we've heard before, especially of people of different races, like, I don't want to be your like testing ground.
Yeah.
Like that's the balance there, right? Mm-hmm. I want to dive into this even more, but before we do, let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by 310 Nutrition. Okay, be honest. How good are you at hydrating? I personally have a tracker, which constantly reminds me that I am not hydrating enough. But now I rely on 310 Nutrition for everything from water hydrators, which make your water delicious and nutritious, to refreshingly healthy lemonade mixes, and they're all-in-one shakes. Whatever your personal goals may be, from getting hydrated to healthier habits, 310 Nutrition is satisfying, guilt free and a helpful tool to whatever goals you have for your health. And we just got these great products from them as a sponsor of the show. And I was immediately drawn to the lemonade mixes because one, they have no sugar. And two, how refreshing does this sound? My favorite is the blackberry flavor lemonade, which is such a treat. Right now, 3-10 is celebrating a new year of goals with the code DATEABLE and giving our listeners 50% off, up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code DATEABLE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use the code DATEABLE. Confession, I have a secret about how I've been able to update my wardrobe with only high quality but affordable pieces these last few years. And now I have to let the secret out because they're sponsoring this episode. It's called Quince. Yeah, you know. Quince has premium European linen dresses, gorgeous washable silk tops, luxurious cashmere, and the best part, they're priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories. So no more middleman, and that's why it costs less to you. I know Julie got herself some nice cashmere pieces, and at only $50 a sweater, come on. And I recently ventured into home goods. I got myself some premium cotton percale sheets, ultra cooling, and just feels like a 5-star hotel every night. And it's so perfect for the upcoming hot months. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/dateable for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/dateable to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/dateable.
If you love Dateable, we have a podcast you have to check out. Seeing Other People was created to help you feel less alone and more empowered by your dating life. Hosted by your soon-to-be favorite internet big sis, Alana Dunn, an early Hinge employee, modern dater, and now a fiance, is here to guide you through whatever you're going through. And she covers the gamut of topics from anti-dating rules, how she went from being an anxious dater to in a secure, healthy relationship, and navigating dating burnout. On Tuesdays, Alana brings on expert guests like dating coaches, matchmakers, psychologists, and more. And on Thursdays, Alana is joined by anonymous real-life daters who bear it all and open up about what they faced in their love lives and what they wish they knew going through it. Seeing Other People will help you change your dating mindset, develop healthy dating habits, and make you feel like you actually can find what you're looking for. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and tune in every Tuesday and Thursday.
The danger you run into when you do a intentional 180 is that you can end up fetishizing someone.
Yeah.
You know, I've been someone's first Asian one too many times because they dated too many white girls and they went 180 and thought I could change their life. And that's a lot of responsibility on someone and it fetishizes them.
Yeah.
So I think the best way to do something like this is to go with the energy of someone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that episode with Cheryl, she just went with where the yes energy went.
Yeah.
And you don't need to, let's get rid of the butterflies and chemistry when you meet someone. Just go with this question. Am I curious to learn more about this person? Am I curious to learn more about
them? That's all you need to know.
And go with that feeling. Go with the flow. Explore where that takes you. You're not getting married to them tomorrow. You don't need to commit to anything. No. It's just opening up your curiosity.
I really love the maybe, if it's a maybe, it's a yes. That's the other one.
Yeah.
You know, we're not saying to go with the people that you're like, I can never envision a future with them. I have zero attraction. We are not telling you to go do that. But again, it's expansion. If they're not 100% the type of person you'd say yes to, but there's something curious about them, there's something that's there, then say yes.
You're always going to learn something about someone else and about yourself as a result. So you're not losing by exploring all different kinds of people.
Yeah. I mean, we always talk about this too. It's like if you can flip your list into your values, that's going to expand your type.
For sure.
Like I know for me, I was so hung up on like where they went to college. And like ultimately what I was saying is I want someone I respect. I want someone that I find intelligent. If you can change it to that, then that opens up so many more people because you're not like, oh, did you go to this type of school? Like, that's so like icky and listy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's just a thought exercise in everything in life. It's not just dating. How do you just go 1% more? Like, what if?
Right.
Maybe. And there's a reason why people get served into your life. I truly believe that. And, you know, in the period before my last relationship and the current relationship, I had met this guy while playing tennis. And when he first came up to me, my first thoughts were like, what are the no's? What are the red flags? What are the ways I can kind of count him out? And then I started thinking, what are the maybes? Like,
yes.
Why wouldn't I want to get to know this person? He seems interesting. He seemed different. He seemed interested. Like, why wouldn't I want to pursue that? And we had a really fun fling. It was great because that was a stepping stone for me reconnecting with my current person. It's just like that expansion of your heart, you know, like, what if?
Right. I think the looking for green flags instead of red flags is a huge one because the red flag mentality keeps you in this defined type. I think what I'm hearing from this whole conversation, it's like, absolutely, you can break out of your type. I really want people to even stop using the word type.
Yeah.
Because it's just setting you up to be in this narrow lane. Think about what qualities are important to you.
Yes.
Double down on those, and the ones that aren't, ultimately, be more open with. I think that's ultimately how you stay true to yourself in the sense of knowing who you jive with, but also not limiting yourself so much either.
We also have to start retelling the narrative around the type.
Yeah.
Because our friends also feed into the toxicity of the type. You know, I think I've given this example before when I was telling some of my college girlfriends about my current partner. They were like, well, how tall is he? Is he tall?
Yeah, right.
It was like, does that matter? So I had to reshift the conversation and say, he's great to me. We are really great with each other.
Yes.
He is truly present and engaged whenever we're together. You know, like, it's just redirecting the conversation. So let's not get caught up in that black hole of superficiality and the type, because that is where everybody's going to go first. You know, whenever you start dating someone new, that's where everybody goes. What does this person look like? Are they your type?
Yeah.
Then just shift the conversation to how this person is a good fit for you.
Yeah. And think about your own story and how you've evolved. Maybe the person that you were gravitated to 10 years ago, there's things you've learned from that are shaping who you're with today. And if you find yourself being like, I'm gravitated to emotionally unavailable people or people that won't commit, that is a story that needs to get retold instead of being like, that's my type. Because the last thing we want you to do is focus on a negative type.
Yeah,
you know, that's not serving you in any way. So like, how can you break free from the story and look at like, okay, maybe back in the day, I was interested in more emotionally available people. But what have I learned since then that's going to be where I'm going? So you don't get stuck in that loop. And that's like a self-fulfilling prophecy at the end of the day.
Always. The universe serves you what you put the energy into. So if you're constantly learning, iterating, and asking for more of what's serving you, you're going to get that. The universe is going to give you so many different types of people for you to explore. But if you get stuck in that box and that's all you're doing, closing yourself off to everybody else, then you're just going to be in an echo chamber of all of your previous types.
Yeah. I mean, maybe an exercise for people is to write down your type, then cross out type immediately. But then look at like what characteristics you put down first. Like maybe start it with 5. They are all physical or superficial. How do you translate those to values ASAP? Mm-hmm. Because that's what you should lead with. And then, you know, we're, again, like you'll be with that person you find attractive. Like, we're not taking that away from you. It's just putting other stuff more at the forefront.
And this is an exercise we actually do in our Finding Your Person program, which we will relaunch in a few months. But it is a really interesting exercise when you turn your type into your values, then you'll see, you'll have an aha moment. Because when your friends are asking you, oh, I want to set you up, what are you looking for? Instead of going with height, occupation, all of that, you're going to go with something so much more authentic to what you're looking for. And then your friends will have a better idea of what you want.
I mean, this sounds weird. I'm just like kind of remembering. I remember during the time before I met my partner, I kind of got to the point of like, I'm just looking for someone wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you remember I've said that to you? And like, that's kind of what I was putting out there. Like, I'm like, I don't want to define them so much. Like, I want to see who comes my way. And, you know, there's got to be certain filters that just happen to go through because, you know, you can't start from zero and it's a lot to ask to totally rewire yourself. But at least having the mentality of like, I'm open to see who comes in without having that defined list, it will let that expansion happen.
There's such a big difference between the tone of what Julie just said, finding someone wonderful, to many of you say, just someone nice. Like, I'm looking for someone nice. I just want him to be nice. I want her
it's
to
like
be nice.
It's like the bare minimum.
Yes, that's the difference in the tone. I want someone to just meet the bare minimum to, I want someone to, I want to be enchanted by this person. Yeah. And I like to say epic. You know, I want to feel like we're in this epic relationship together. And that's purely a feeling.
Yeah. And I think like if your friend is trying to set you up and you're like, I just want to be with someone wonderful, who do you know? Then you let your friend, like, again, you're going to trust in your friend. Like, there's a reason you guys are friends. They're probably going to have someone good to introduce you to. But then if they ask you and you're like, well, they must be at least 5'9". They must work in tech. They must live here. Then they're going to be like, oh, I don't even know who to find you because that's such a narrow pool. And like, is this person going to like the person I find? I would much rather have your friend work for you in the sense that you're empowering them to like bring forward someone good.
Yes, that's it. They can go by their gut instinct of what wonderful or epic feels like without the hindrances of like all the other requirements. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Like, I'm looking for someone wonderful. Do you know anybody wonderful? So many of my friends who've tried to set me up always lead with the characteristics.
Oh yeah, everyone
does. I want you to meet Steve. He's
a lawyer.
11. Yeah, he has no kids, but he's divorced. And it's like, okay, but what's he like?
Who is Steve?
How is he? Yeah. What are his characteristics like? And they would be like, I think he's nice. Like he seems okay.
It's just the good on paper is so easy to quantify, but so we really need to get out of that mentality because it's just limiting who can come through. And then also, if you're that person, making it really hard for your friends to set you up.
Yes, very hard. Yeah, make it easy. Make it easy for your friends and make it easy for the universe to deliver who is right for you.
Yes. Okay, so you don't have to change your whole type, but you got to be open. That's what we're leaving with.
All right, cool. Well, that wraps up this conversation. It's quite the conversation, quite the debate. We love to hear what you think about this topic of the type and how you've evolved your type over the years. And what's a different word for type you think is better? We haven't really thought of a better word than type.
No. And you know, if you are a Spotify listener, you can actually leave comments on the episode. So we could hear firsthand what you think about this episode and if changing your type is possible. And if you're an Apple Podcast listener, leave that review. It always helps us so much.
Please give us 5 stars first. It truly helps us propel our podcast. But also, as you all know, Julie went full time with our podcast. We got to make sure she's fed, that her basic needs are met.
Your review helps everything.
It truly does. It truly does. This is what helps advertisers to stay advertisers on our show. It helps us to get bigger names. It helps us with our brand deals. It's just a way for us to sustain the podcast. So that Julie doesn't go hungry. Come on, guys. Honestly. And you can always reach us by emailing us hello@datablepodcast.com or DM us on Instagram @datablepodcast. All right. That's it for this week. We'll see you all next week.
Stay Dateable.
The Dateable Podcast is part of the Frolic Media Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram @datablepodcast and visit datablepodcast.com for access to all the episodes and our premium programs. Also, make sure to subscribe today if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform so you are the first to get all the latest episodes. And most importantly, stay dateable.